to order on April 14th at 7:04 p.m. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Best will be arriving late. Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Mayor Johnson is ill, and she may be attending for the executive session at the end, but probably not before then.
Okay. And Councilwoman DeFries, can I have you?
We probably should.
Those are excused absences for Mr. Irby.
Including Ken for this meeting.
Mr. Irby and Mayor Johnson. Okay. Exactly. If you could lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. All right. The approval of the agenda includes the consent agenda and minutes. Is there a motion to approve the agenda, consent agenda, and minutes?
I'll move, Your Honor.
Second.
So moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Carried unanimously. So now we're on to communications and appearance. Mr. Healy, please come forward, our Director of Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Tom Healy, the Public Works Director. I thought I'd mention a few kind of noteworthy items, and then if I could go through and touch on some of the projects on the project status report. And if that doesn't take too much time, I would. It's been a long time since I've given the council an update on the Mat-Su Borough's wastewater and septic advisory board, and there's been some actions there, so I'll just briefly describe some of that. Really, the biggest news in Public Works is Ailish's birth of Catherine the other day. That was a great event. We were all waiting for that. We had quite a scare the other night. I don't know if you heard, but we've been out sweeping the streets. Signs of the season, the street sweeper gets out. And we'd parked it in the what we call the Munoz shop, which is the third of our shops there. And Dave Witt, one of our employees, just happened to be down there that evening and at the other end of the shop and noticed, anyway, the street sweeper caught fire in the shop. And he was able, if he had not been there, we would have lost that entire building and everything in it. We figured it was a potential loss of $1.5 million. So that was, we were breathing a sigh of relief for several days after that. He was able to get the fire mostly out, but the fire department was called, and they dragged the machine out, and it looked pretty bad. It was an electrical short off the main battery cable. And so I thought the whole thing was fried, and it would be quite a while to repair it. But our mechanics got into it and found that it wasn't that bad, and they had it back up and running. The fire occurred Tuesday evening, and they had it out of the shop on Thursday afternoon. So that was, it worked out well, and the machine's out working now. The grass crew will be coming on in a few weeks. Again, signs of the season. The ice is going out at the MTA Event Center, so things are transitioning. I would like to mention Mark Hotchkiss, and with help from some others, you may have seen the historical plaque on the locomotive out by the depot. They kind of did that and went out and put it there. Provides historical information for the for that display. Okay, on to the project report. On the first page, the Southwest Extension 2A, that's pretty much done. That's a reservoir and the booster station. They have to do the painting on the mural on the tank and do some seeding and topsoil, but that project is pretty much complete. as is Sherrod Phase 2, which was constructed last summer. They'll come back in and do some topsoil and seeding. Phase 3, Sherrod Area Water and Street Improvements, is out to bid right now, and the bid's open on April 21st, and that will be before you at the meeting of April 28th to give that award of that that bid. So that's kind of the larger projects there in terms of the Sherrod and Southwest Extension area. This is the last of the Sherrod water main improvements. This will complete the replacement that's gone on for 12 some years of all the thin-walled steel pipe. Perhaps the next area down the line is the area just to the west of that, Chugach, I think Caribou in there, on the other side of the tracks, where we had a leak there over the past couple of weeks, which we repaired late last week, which is about a 200,000 gallon a day leak. That pipe in that whole area, this is about the sixth major leak we've had in that area. That's old cast pipe, which is fairly brittle, and sometimes it just cracks like you cut it. And so we got that leak repaired. But that whole area within a few years, I think, would be another project to replace some water mains. If you have any questions as I go through, please let me know. On the Bogart water main extension, that's the contractor has been laying pipe this spring, and tomorrow night, from starting at 10 o'clock p.m. to 2 a.m., in the morning, we'll have the water shut off up in Valley Trails and Balin subdivisions, because they're going to make the tie-in to the system there at the Scott Road water tank. So that project is coming right along. Moving on to the next one, Bogart Road Phase 2, the borough is going out to bid on that. We'll be able to, with our funding, to extend the water main across 49th State Street and complete that, but we may have enough money to complete design on the booster station we need, but we will still need to find some construction money for that booster station in order to activate that kind of the western half of that system. Moving on to some building projects, I list the depot expansion separately from the building improvement project on the next page, but they're really kind of all together, even though they're different sources of money. We've been working with Wolf Architecture on coming up with initial scoping of work so that he could develop a more detailed fee proposal for the actual design work and everything. And that initial scoping is pretty much complete. I got a draft fee proposal from Wolf Architecture yesterday, and so we're working on that, and I hope to have that. It'll be an amendment to the professional service agreement we already have with them, and that will be before you on the first meeting in May. Also at that meeting, in looking at the depot, we've come up with three different storage options, and so we'll have those to present to the council to give us some guidance on which ones we want to do there. So that will be at the first meeting in May. Stormwater Master Plan, we just heard all about that. That was a good presentation. It's interesting to me to see that that depiction of that model is tremendous to predict what deficiencies we have and when they will occur. The wastewater study facility plan update is coming along. We're meeting in a couple of weeks with HDR. We've had a couple of meetings with them already. They're looking at the regulations and working up to a meeting with DEC. And we're kind of working backwards from what standards do we need to meet in the receiving water back up through the plant to see how we can meet those. So that project is moving along. And they will have a presentation to you, a brief one, I think, at the next meeting, and then a more complete briefing at the meeting of, March 26th, May 26th. And they should wrap that report up in June. we're working to get tables and chairs at the MTA Center. A couple of miscellaneous projects here, downtown sidewalks. We hope to get out a small job on that this summer. So are there any questions on projects before I go into the borough's Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board? Has been meeting every couple of months for 4 years now, and the progress was sort of slow at the start. The focus was to look at the possibility of building a regional wastewater treatment plant. But over the years, the focus has shifted significantly. In all of those discussions, a septage facility, that is a facility that could accept septage pumpings in the valley, in the borough, has been part of the equation. And but our focus has shifted almost entirely to that need, the septage facility. The regional wastewater plant is really a tremendously expensive project. I don't think the density, even as dense as it is here, the densities aren't there yet to make it cost effective. And just to build the plant, I think the estimates were, well, now they'd be up 120, 130 million. And that doesn't count a collection system to get stuff there. So that was sort of set aside for the next couple of generations, I guess. And the more immediate problem, particularly now that Anchorage is telling the borough that the day will come where they won't accept septage from the valley, that day will come. And so that put some impetus into this. So the board has helped the borough to identify sites or a site selection box for the septage treatment facility. The borough went out and looked at properties the borough owns in that area rather than try to acquire property. And they came up with two sites. One is on the central landfill property, kind of in the southwestern corner of that. And the other was out at the intersection of Church Road and Selden out to the west. They had CH2M Hill did a very good job in terms of a site assessment of those two sites, including geotechnical work. They found the soils at the Church Road site to be unacceptable. They're looking at a in-ground disposal method, subsurface discharge. But the soils in the site to the west were not suitable. But the soils at the landfill site are very good. So the board had a meeting today, actually, and we passed a resolution making that selection, that is the preferred site. Where it goes, and we've also passed a resolution a few months ago asking the borough to recommending that they are agreeing with the concept of the borough borrowing money up to, I think, $20 million to build this facility. I think the borough assembly approved that. So there's a lot of momentum on this thing. But at this point, they've spent their last dollar on this site investigation, and so there isn't any capital money or design money to go much further here. So we'll see where that goes. But that's kind of where it is, and I think we've kind of identified a project, and we've made some progress on that. So,
any questions for Mr. Healy? Okay,
thank you,
sir. Next on our agenda is reports. City Manager,
Mayor and Council, in your packet, there's 3 weeks worth of information about projects, and I can enter or I can answer any questions about that. Most of the last 2 weeks, and even since then, consumed with, so good news, get the audit done. So finance has done that, and they've left, and by mid-May, then we'll have the final audit. Why that plays a role is that you've heard some talk about other monies that might be needed for things like the Sherritt project. Well, at that time, then we'll know what kind of funds there are, and if you choose to do any like budget adjustments for this year of anything that we have. Contacted Granite right after our last meeting, went over the amendment with them, made sure he understands it. He does. They've told him that need to have it signed by the end of this month. They understand that. It's Derek Betts, who's the VP that handles that, and he's aware of our of the project. He sent it down to, he asked for some clarification about the bond. We gave that to him. So we'll just continue to follow up and get something signed. I did encourage him. I said, you know, before the last meeting, I don't know if you remember, I said that Derek, who's now taken over for Steve Conley, who was doing the work in the past, had said, well, you know, what about us doing it cash in lieu of? So I said, if you want to do something, just, you know, turn it in. I believe the last time they withdrew it because when they had a third party, and they didn't share us the cost, but when they had a third party, it was more than what they expected. But I think the reason why they expected that is they're in the business of construction. And I think he thought he could do it different. So I said, whatever you want to bring to the council, do that. But sign that, and then if you want to come back, great. Been watching the legislature, particularly over some of the things that we just heard now when Tom talked about the – sorry.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Manager. Mr. Getty.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't want to interrupt your report. On Granite, though, they're going to get something before the end of the month. Did they promise that?
Yeah, yes. So one of the things with the legislature is particularly you've been seeing in the news recently about one of the strategies. They're looking for money all over, but of any projects that might have funds in them that nothing has happened. We have one project that on the face of it doesn't look like there's a lot of activity, and that's the one we're just talking about, and that's that the state had given us money for acquisition of land that might be or hopefully will be part of the solution to the wastewater plant. But the activity that has been going on is exactly what Tom mentioned, and that's that we've been working on the master plan to identify what's the proper solution. So we've sent to Senator Stoltz and to Representative Hughes and to their staff to saying, don't let this be swept with any other projects that are around. So they have that and they acknowledge it. And I think we may reach out to other members of the Valley delegation too. The other one is, you know, the big news in addition to Alice's baby is that, I don't know if you want to call this a new birth, but we have the police chief. And so Lance Ketterling is our new chief. He takes over at the end of the month. So right now we're going through a transition. You know, just more learning, even though it's been a mentoring process the whole time. And the last one is just a lot of activity with businesses. And it's still two groups are looking to site a medical facility, assisted care living in the Palmer area. So we have met with we've done one with the teleconference, the other one we met in person a couple of times, including with the property owners. And what we do in those situations, whether it's me or with Sandra Garley, which is most of the time, we like to do this tag team, or occasionally when the mayor, when it's appropriate to make sure that people know that we are supportive of these developments, then we'll all go. But the assisted care living, we've met with the property owner, and they're continuing to do due diligence. Then we're there to answer questions like, well, what might be the issue of access? What might be some of the design? Understanding the nuances of our zoning. So we've had that one continuing to work, and a lot of it is trumpeting what happens next door with Mr. Striken of, and that has changed over time. When we first started working with him, one, it was going to be a rehab of the building. Well, clearly you look next door and there's a big empty lot right now. So the next process that he has with that is it kind of when you walk out tonight, you'll see there's a difference in elevation. He's going to take the area right next to it, basically grind that up, and they're going to make sure that there's not a change in the elevation on that site and use some of the asphalt and some of the stuff that we have on site to fill in the hole and make it even. Now, the other thing is that in his first presentation to us, which is a typical one, they'll come to community development and say, here's our concept, what are your ideas? We encourage people to do that so we can take care of issues early. He had the thought of it being two stories of basically just all office suites in the downtown. And after he got started and people heard about it and said they got excited, some have gone to him and suggested, how about the second floor to be residential, higher end, maybe apartments or condominium. I think it's really apartments. So he's working on that and considering it. And that's another one where we get community development in the middle of it so that they can say, here are what our regulations are. Here's our things about parking. How can we make something work? We're continuing to do the stuff with Fred Meyer, give them information, answer as inquiries. There's not a whole lot going on. They're doing some work that part they're not really sharing with us. Matt made, we're still looking for, I think we're on the agenda for the first week in May. And so I've asked the property owner, Mr. Engel said, please, if you can, be able to make an announcement to the council so that we can, that he will share with you. So that's my target with that. There is a proposal. He has a development group that, or a business that wants to go there that would take basically his whole site, which means he has the property from the Johnson's property on the corner, the so and the little storage place, all the way up to the corner where the last can of books. There's another little parcel in between it, and that's in negotiation with the Palmer Arts Guild. So anticipate that will be done before he comes to it. And then the other one, working with Jeff, and he's here, and that's about the airport, and it's a fixed wing and a rotary wing business to come here. We're working through an interesting thing, and this will be the last item, is utilities. And we've had some utilities at the airport that were developed probably 15 years ago, maybe longer. And it's really unclear as to how they were to be assessed as we do leases. So we've been in the middle of that and trying to sort through where the money is. So, you know, does it belong to water fund, sewer fund, does it belong to the airport, and which properties are assessed against. And that's important because in the draft lease with the meets and bounds, the company that's looking at it to come in here is in that same area. So that's what we're working on.
Do we have any questions for the manager? Okay. All right. City clerk's report.
No report.
No report. And mayor's report, no report. Didn't know I was going to be mayor tonight. So. And city attorney's report.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you. I have no report this evening. Thank you.
All right. Now, audience participation is a time to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes. And audience participation is now open. If anyone wishes to come forward and speak to the council. I ask you to please sign in. And remember to hit the button. There you go.
I'm Denise Stotts, and I own Non-Essentials in downtown Palmer. And I'm here because this evening you're going to vote on these community grants that have been requested for various different events in the community. And something that had come up that I didn't really have a good mechanism earlier to tell you about in my application that I want to respond to the city manager's question on has to do with how we evaluate the value of that event, not in terms of introducing new people to the community, but how we evaluate it from an economic perspective. And over the last 2 weeks, what I've done is, frankly, weaseled my way into the company of some of my peers in the community that are long-term business owners and really talked about what we've watched over the last few years. And I want to tell you that we estimate, by virtue of numerous conversations now, numerous people reporting their findings over the past 4 years, because this is year five of this event. And we estimate that for every dollar that you have given, and typically we request $1,000, that we estimate that you're getting about three back. And that's based on the sales of some of the larger businesses. I'll mention a few of them to you. Cover-ups, myself, Shane Lamb Gallery, Silvertip Design, Vagabond Blues. There were a couple of others. And this year, I think that we'll have an even, now that we've sort of bridged that whole discussion and enabled ourselves to really open up and talk about what we find in terms of events, I think that it'll be even easier to get this information. I do request that someone here take the time at some point, and I suspect everything drops into your lap, Summer, when it's ultimately over with. But I would like to know what day the application was actually made available online, if I could, please, at some point. That would be useful to me. Other than that, I have nothing else unless council has any questions or concerns. And by the way, it is the 25th. The 24th and 25th is the event. It's absolutely huge. We have never had this many businesses involved. 25 businesses this year, including several new businesses. And it will be the unveiling of two absolutely brand spanking new businesses who will just be days away from opening their doors in the community, including Lavender and Roots, which are two new hair salons, and then the new fiber shop that's opened down on Cobb.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to come to speak to the council during audience participation?
My name is Pat Chesbrough, and I'm here representing the Palmer Museum Board just to urge you to approve the grant for the Indigenous exhibit, Our People, Our Lands, Our Images. We are fortunate that this exhibit will be seen only in Palmer, in the whole state of Alaska. It brings not only our own, with partnership with the Alaska Native Heritage Center, it brings not only our own Alaska Natives, but it brings Indigenous peoples from around the world in wonderful vision. And we have an opportunity, an unparalleled opportunity. It will be there during the Midsummer Garden and Art Fair, so that brings more people to Palmer and more people to see it, and there will be more Native crafts available, and I think that will bring a community that may not have had the opportunity to show their crafts and their art history as much, and so I urge you to approve it. And I'm here to answer questions. I may not be the best person, but I'm glad to answer questions if I can.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else that wishes to come forward for audience participation?
Good evening. I'm Jan Newman from Grow Palmer. I think you all recognize me. I wanted to urge you to approve the grant for Grow Palmer this year. One thing that was that just occurred, so obviously was not on the grant application this past weekend. Grow Palmer had been asked to present at the Botanical Garden Spring Conference, which happened in Anchorage last weekend. And in the 11th hour, our presentation was bumped in front of somebody else's, and which was fine. We had no problem with that. But curiously enough, the presenter that followed us had used and modeled a program in Barrow based on the Grow Palmer model. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that that Palmer's really on the cutting edge of this public food movement that's going on, and these kinds of things are being modeled elsewhere in the state. So thank you. If you have any questions about our application, I'm all ears.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh.
Oh, thank you.
We like to prove that people actually come to talk to us occasionally. Is there anyone else who wants to come speak to us for audience participation? Okay, see, no one will close audience participation. And next we have a public hearing. And this is a public hearing for resolution number 15-001A, amending the City of Palmer 2015 budgeting by approving an appropriation and transfer of $5,000 from the unassigned general fund balance, Fund 01, to line item 01-02-10-6110, Sister City Program, IM 15-027. So we'll open this public hearing. And this is public hearing one of two. So this is actually going to be voted on at our next regular meeting. Does anyone wish to come forward to speak on this public hearing? Everyone's used up all their words. Okay. We'll close this public hearing. And then I believe we need a motion to get this before us in case we want to make a comment.
Also move, Your Honor, the approval of Resolution 15-001A.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. And all we can do is we can have discussion at this point, but it won't, again, it won't be voted on until a second public hearing on the clerk. What's up?
Sandra Peterson wanted you guys to have some information that was laid on the table, and the red information has been updated from what's in the packet.
Your Honor.
Councilwoman Combs, yes.
And I'd like to address that, if I might. Sandra's been wonderful. This budget changes almost on a daily basis. The committee that's working on this very awesome 35th anniversary visit from our sister city, they're working hard. They're working every day. And so the budget actually has just undergone tremendous number of changes. I would bring to your attention for sure the next to the last line on the bottom of the sheet, where everything that's in red is some of the latest. I mean, a lot of that was just updated in the last 3 days. But the budget for the 2005 Sister City 25th Anniversary Celebration was $20,462. Now, I don't have a copy of that particular budget in front of me, but I do remember that celebration. And I'd like to point out that sponsorships and donations have been made. You know, we have been attempting to partner with others. We're still doing that. That's an ongoing thing. So it's not like they haven't been working hard. And I would like to, you know, any questions that, you know, any of you might have in regards to this could certainly be shot out to any person that's on that committee. I happen to know that Senator Peterson's on the committee. I'm kind of ad hoc on it. Carla Williams will be here. In 2 weeks, you will hear from more people from the committee because they will have hopefully solidified even more in regards to this particular thing. So thank you for your time.
Okay. If there's nothing else, then we will go on to action memorandum. So is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-028, authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute a contract in the amount of $48,325.35 for the 2015 crack sealing and street striping bid to Alaska Sure Seal Incorporated? Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Do we want to have a staff report, or is there any questions? We ready to vote? Okay. So all those in favor of action memorandum 15-028, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. And is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-031, approve a community council grant in the amount of $3,000 to Grow Palmer for community gardens? Looking for a motion and a second. Everyone's still getting their papers in order. So let the record show Mr. Best has just joined us. We're just coming up on action memorandum number 2, and I'm looking for a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-031, the Grow Palmer grant.
I'll move, Your Honor, for discussion.
Second. Okay. So it's moved and seconded. Welcome, Mr. Best.
Thank you. Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
May I get a staff report on the process by which we all have gone through to get to where we are, please?
Mr. Manager, please.
Yes. So in the process, based on after the council approved the lengthy discussion after approved the process at a council meeting, then we put a notice on the website and took applications. And then I also went back through the list of people from the past who had received donations and contacted them and to tell them about the process. I think that in the process, this is a learning experience that we talked about that. And in tonight's meeting, you'll see that there's requests that equal almost the total amount. And I think that leaves some people, you know, uncomfortable about, you know, are we giving all the money away? And what we didn't do in the language of the grant is define what modest proposal should be. So, you know, I think we have a couple that are multiple thousand dollars, and there's only slightly less than 10,000 available. I think in the future or even after this meeting that it would be helpful to define what modest is. 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever amount. So that was one thing that happened. The other one is that our process does not incentivize, meaning giving points. So that, because if you look at the recommendations, basically all of the people that presented their request and, have met the criteria for this first group. And so that doesn't help a lot for when you distinguish between twos. And I think that there is an opportunity and there would be a real advantage of saying, and it doesn't matter what amount, that if you match the amount that you're putting in for a grant, that would be, you know, recognized, because that may be one of the things that you want to do. We have two other requests that are not on this council packet, and they could come. One is for $600, and the other one is for $3,000. So, and those are not, they won't be on your next agenda, because I'm talking to them. One of them, because there's a question about a, it's a project that is targeted to seniors. And in our criteria, one of the criteria we said that we don't want it to be exclusive. So it needs to be open to everyone. So that would be helpful for me to get your, you know, what you would like. If something was just directed to youth and only youth would do it, or just directed to seniors, do you want that as still as a criteria? It's in our criteria now. And I think that there can be some things that change. I know when the mayor and I were talking about, she's a little uncomfortable that what happens at the end of the year, somebody else came. That's why I asked, what, two meetings ago, do you want to see them all now? So there is a demand from groups that you have in the community for events or for startups or for continuing items for the city to help. And right now it's all be directed to this 10,000. There is another model that came up as we were talking about this for you to possibly consider, and that's what the borough does. The borough, by agreement during their budget process, have said that, and it's an agreement among the council, that so much money, and it could be $500, it could be $1,000, it could be $50, that each of the borough, the assembly members, are given so much money, and there's an agreement that says, throughout the year, when somebody comes to you and asks for something, as long as it meets the general criteria of what they're setting aside as a grant, that the assembly will generally approve that. That could be a model for you, that you say some dollar amount that you wish it to go among council members, and then they're brought back. Do you have to use it? No. But that's one thing that came up as part of this discussion. And then the other one, and it was ironic that Denise mentioned about her, you know, doing the extra thing about evaluating the impact of all the applications. Ironically, hers was the best, because what she attempted to do, and it's a challenge with any of these, is to say, tell us, and we put this as a criteria, tell us, you know, like, who's going to come, how will you evaluate that, so that when we look at it for both this year and next year, we can say, are we getting the biggest bang for the buck, either in bringing people in town or increasing dollars, if that's the criteria. And that's what we're using with economic development, which is in the language. But that doesn't account for things like, and there's not one here now, but let's take, for example, the grad party. If they come in and they say, oh, we'd like some money, And we use the general criteria. It's been talking about economic development. Well, you can say that by supporting graduation, that's a good thing, and it makes people want to live here in the community. That's harder to evaluate. So those are some of the things in the first group. And absolutely, these that each of the groups, we didn't say, you know, there was a limit. You could do, you know, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000. Just said the total amount of money that the council has available is $10,000. So that's the process, and those are some of the things that I learned as we were doing these reports or doing these requests.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess not necessarily just talking about this motion, but I think the overall thing, since this is one of the first requests that we have, when I'm looking at the information that I believe Sandra put together for us, when you look at the 2014, with the ones that are on the agenda tonight, we have pretty much, as the manager said, pretty much spent the $10,000. But when you look at the other items on 2014 in the that we had requests for and we granted last year, that's another $3,960. So that's almost $4,000 there. And I don't even know if those that are listed for 2014 include the ones that you, the other ones that you're talking about, or they're brand new. So what that one was, what, six, and one was three? No, so that's another nine. So we are up to, well, $20,000 type thing. So doubling our budget. And I mean, I don't need to tell you where we are in the year. And fourth of the year, our third of the year gone, right? So I guess I thought that we were going to come up with a plan that was going to be easier for us to help make some of these decisions, but it doesn't seem like maybe it worked out that way. So I know there's going to be people disappointed this evening and probably disappointed in the future. But we don't know what's going to happen in Juneau, and we know there's not going to be any capital budget. And, you know, we just listened to the waste, the stormwater treatment plan, which was, you know, $5 million for the north section, and I think it was $14 million for the central section to deal with the stormwater, you know. And I realize, you know, $10,000 doesn't go very long for that, but towards, you know, making a dent in that. But we are going to have a lot of requests here in the next couple of years, as in the oil prices continue to go down, of what we actually are going to do in the city of Palmer. So I don't know that I have an amendment, but I'd like to hear some of the rest of the council's discussion, see if there's some things I'm missing or what they...
Mr. Hansen.
Yeah. Well, it's ironic to me that the year we formalized the process for donations that we run into the biggest problems. And I guess when you send a letter out that says free money, come get it, you're going to have people come get it. And so maybe we shouldn't be surprised. I'm with Edna. I think that, you know, I think that the philosophy behind this donation and grant program is to maximize our ability, their ability to do business in the city. And I don't think we can spend all our resources in one or two areas. And so I want this thing to be maintained as something that is good for the entire community, not for in this case, we're at four right now, and that exhausts all our money. So I want to see this temper these donations tonight, and with the idea that we want to get a few more people involved.
Councilwoman Combs.
I have to agree with Councilmember Hansen, especially because I sat through all the discussions that came up with the formalized process starting over just over a year ago. The intent was to just make the process a little bit more formal. The intent wasn't to make things a little more muddled by any stretch of the imagination. You know, when the city manager mentions that this and this wasn't wasn't specified. So, and again, I'm still a little unclear as to why we're looking at all four of these right now, if you want to know the truth. We were asked a few weeks ago when we wanted to see them. We said we wanted to see them as they came in. I was still actually, to be honest with you, in the process of putting together a informative, and it's not that many people, some that are in this room, didn't know this, but in the process of putting together a formal presentation on how this process was going to work to the Chamber of Commerce. And, well, obviously, I can throw that speech out. I am uncomfortable because there's not a single organization or individual since I've sat here in some four years, that doesn't, and even before that, that doesn't come before us that asks for help that isn't usually deserving, or it isn't, you know. And I'm sure we all feel that way, but I also feel like we have to partner with folks, and we have to go back to, I know what I heard and what I've expressed ends up part of the record more than one time. The intent of the whole program, whether it was formalizing the process or not, but the intent of this program and in general the intent is for the city to be here and to hear that voice when it says, I'd like to do this, or my organization would like to do this, and we need some help, okay? We just need some help. And I too cannot, you know, we went through a tough budget process last fall. We agreed on a budget of $10,000, and I too cannot one quarter of the way into the year see it all gone, and it just really kind of makes me sad. I just hope that we iron out whatever misconceptions or miscommunications have been going on, because I can't say it enough. I believe in my heart that every person that sits at this table has the best interest of Palmer, the best interest of every group that comes before us. We do want to help, and we will do it to the best of our ability. We're just not going to be able. We're going to have to disappoint folks this evening, and that makes me a little sad. Thank you.
Madam Mayor. Hello. Madam Mayor. Maybe for clarity, I can say I'm giving the chair over to Madam Mayor, who just arrived. Right. And we're on, what are we on? Action Memorandum 2? So, and on this matter, I guess the thing we failed to do was put a maximum request, you know, in there, or a clue as to what a moderate amount was. You know, for my purposes, I would tend to think for right now, since we're not even a third of the way through the year, of looking at $1,000 max for the request at this point, and then see how it goes for the rest of the year. That would be kind of my thinking.
And so we're on Grow Palmer. Well, I want to speak to Grow Palmer because I think it's one of the greatest things that I've seen happen in the city. The sense of partnership, in the sense that we have someone that wants to organize volunteers, bring them on to the city of Palmer property, beautify our gardens, got a tremendous amount, not just of volunteer labor, and that include kids from all ages, kids and then to all ages. I saw people out there enjoying these gardens from kids to all ages. I would say that the amount of quality of life difference for anything that's come before the city council with this economic scale, I think Grow Palmer is by far and away one of the best things that's ever happened here. And when people talk about the Palmer revitalization, I know that this is one one program, and I hesitate to call that a program because it's not about us putting money into something that's not self-sustaining. These are volunteers. This is something that has created its own energy. And so with that in mind, I just want to speak for what I consider the residents of Palmer, for what's happening in Palmer is just being a symbol of a lot of the good things that are happening in Palmer. When we talk about, we spent $50,000 on chairs this year for the depot. For the ice arena. Okay, that's maybe a very important expense. We spent $100,000 last year for a floor for the ice arena. Why am I saying those things? Because in our city budget, we're talking about those being some of the smallest, most insignificant numbers that we have. And so when we talk about a small grant like this, $3,000, I just want to say I'm proud to be in a town that recognizes the importance of being able to allow this to come before the city council. So with that, are we ready to vote on?
Madam Mayor.
Excuse me. Mr. Carrington.
I'd like to make a motion that we amend the amount of 15-031 to $1,000.
Same.
Made by Councilmember Carrington and seconded by Councilmember Best to reduce the amount to $1,000. By $1,000 to $2,000? To $1,000. Well, I think we're going to nickel our dime ourselves into some real embarrassment here, unfortunately. $3,000, again, to the city of Palmer. It's a minor amount, and it's got a tremendous amount of response throughout the community. So $1,000, is it enough to have the Health Foundation give us $25,000? That's how much they gave us last year. Is that going to give us the in-kind gazebo in our park in Grove Palmer this year? Because that's been promised. That's a whole lot more than $1,000. So what we're talking about is something that not only brings in community hours, benefits the community, beautifies the community, and brings in what we've given Grove Palmer, I think up until this point, maybe $2,500, $500, and I don't, another 500 or 1,000. So we've given $3,000 to $4,000. We've given $3,000 to Grove Palmer. We've got a park out of it. We've got multiple beds downtown that have been rehabbed by volunteers that hadn't been touched in years. We have extra plants that people have donated. We have donation from the Mat-Su Health Foundation recognizing what a healthy community this makes us, and we've given $3,000 to Grove Palmer, and what it's brought back into us, it's, well, $30,000, and that's not even adding in any kind of volunteer labor or in-kind. So and you can do the math on that. So I think reducing this is an insult. And I think it's disrespectful to all of the people that have worked so hard to make this project come to fruition. Councilmember Combs.
Thank you. I will never not say, I will not say that I disagree completely with you, because the Grove Palmer hasn't affected me personally, but I have seen what it's done. And I think everything you've said is 100% true. But what I'm looking for personally, and what I believe has been looked for before in this, is we're looking for a balance. And if you want to start, and we certainly can, we can even get pretty emotional about this. We use up all this money right now because we're doing thousands and thousands of dollars out of whack, then there's no funds left for, and I'm going to go ahead and bring it up, 25 years, we have not had a single teenager who has been injured, arrested, let alone killed on graduation night because volunteers put together the Grad Blast program. 25 years of young people being safe, and this city put money into that program. If we don't leave money for other programs, we have to be responsible and make sure that we have money that can go to other programs that are just as valuable.
Councilmember Hanson.
I absolutely agree with everything you said. They're a wonderful program with wonderful volunteers that contribute immensely to the community. One problem is we've imposed a $10,000 budget limitation on how many community grants we're going to give. And last year, we gave 11. So far this year, we're at 4, and we're already going to be over the $10,000 or nearly over the $10,000 threshold. I, for one, believe that this is, if Gro Palmer wants to put together a special presentation to come in and ask for a budget amendment to accommodate their donation request, I'm all about that, as with some of the other programs that are asking for $4,600. But to me, this program right here is about community grants where we're supposed to economize, distribute equitably within the community that hopefully will maximize the benefit of a number of different folks. So I absolutely agree with you. They're a wonderful program. We supported them immensely last year. They did a great job over there in the Salvation Army lot. I think that lot is tremendously better than it was. And we're going to continue to support them. At what level? Well, I guess we're going to determine that.
Anyone else? All right. Well, I guess I just want to say, and finally here, is that again, $1,000 is just it's too small considering what we've talked about. I want to remind everyone that Gro Palmer's been here and they have presented some amazing stuff, and I think the $10,000 is an arbitrary amount that we set, and that's good, but we say often the budget's a guideline. But I mostly want to say, and this is in respect for Jan, who anytime she's asked for money for the city, she's been very hesitant about it and asks me, well, how much is a realistic amount of money to ask for? Now, I know that our office here at the City Hall sent out solicitations for this information, for these grants. So perhaps I just want to make note that I'm assuming, and I'm making an assumption here, but I'm assuming that when Jan asked for something that she's talked to people about it before. So I don't know that, but I've always appreciated the spirit with which the grant's been asked for, and Gro Palmer has particularly showed a gracefulness in that. All right. All those in favor of reducing the amount to $1,000, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. No. That brings us back to the main amendment. As main motion as amended is to approve the community council grant to Gro Palmer. And it's, I know it's not a community garden, but anyway, with all those in favor of the main motion as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. No. Okay. So, or I should, I guess, say yes to that. But now that brings us to Action Memorandum 15-003. Thank you, Jan, for appreciate your support for the community. Palmer Chamber of Commerce, Colony Days, in the amount of $500. We have motion 15-033.
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say no. All those opposed, say no. Thank you. All right, moving on, we have Action Memorandum 15-034, approve the Community Council grant in the amount of $1,000 to Palmer Arts Council for Who Let the Girls Out.
So moved.
Second.
Made and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Approve the city council grant in the amount of $4,650 to the Palmer Museum of History and Art for an exhibit of Our People, Our Land, Our Images. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll second for discussion.
Made and seconded. All those in favor? Councilmember Carrington.
In the same context I mentioned before, that, you know, I think that I will make an amendment to amend this amount down to $1,000 at this time because of our budget constraints.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. All right. At this point, I would like to bring back to council for the next.
Your Honor, I think that was just the vote on the amendment. We need to vote on the main motion.
Oh, okay. Well, vote back on the main motion on AM 15-035. Main motion is amended. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. All right. So that brings us back to, just in general, I would like to bring back to the council for the next regular meeting, $300 plus the event center rental it's $300 for Grad Blast plus the whatever the amount last year was, and the I believe we gave the rental of the event center.
Your Honor, don't we need to wait till we get an application?
Well, we've done it before without an application. I know that they're going to need it, so. I guess I'm acting outside of this official. Can we not do that?
You know, I don't know. Even in the past, when we didn't have this application, we always had a formal request. Do we have a formal request from them in, like, a letter or something like that? It seemed like to me we had at least a letter or something. Linda, I think, knows more about it than me.
No, I think we haven't always had a letter, I believe a phone call, just to mention. It's not been anything that's been contentious before. So I would like to bring back, and by then we can have that. The action memorandum will be in the, will be backed up with some information, so this isn't to be brought back in any form, but for you to vote on it. So, thank you. All right, thank you.
Madam Mayor, was that 300 for Grad Blast and
That's just a request to bring that back. 300 for $300 for Grad Blast and the rental of the MTA Events Center that night. Actually, I took that back. I said whatever we had done last year. I can't remember if that was what we did or if we did 250 or 300 or what it was. All right, that brings us to the end of action memorandum. I'm going to take a brief recess. All right, we're back. Now we have if you'll see under new business, we have a resolution number 15-002A and resolution 15-002B. So we can let's see, how does this work? We move to adopt resolution 15-002A and 15-002B, and so then we'll bring them up for discussion, and so we can discuss both of them at the same time. If we want to, or you can make a motion, and then if you want to vote on them separately, we can divide the question. So, I'm just looking around the table. Do you want to have these all brought up and discussed at the same time, or do you want to bring them up and then divide them out? Anybody have any preferences? My inclination is to just bring them up and start the discussion, and then divide the question if we want to after the discussion. So I need a motion.
Both of them.
Both 15-002A and B.
Your Honor, I'll move for adoption of resolution number 15-002A and resolution number 15-002B.
Second.
All right, made and seconded. Now we have a choice. Do we want to discuss both and get a staff report and just on both in general? I can't remember exactly how we came to having both of these. I believe the council asked to have brought back 15-002A, perhaps, B. And the managers submitted B. Is that correct, or am I? Would that be correct? Okay. So we have this before us. Does anybody want to make any comments or discussion? Mr. Manager, would you lead us off on?
I think it's all said in the two subject lines. The first one, A, both of them do the same thing, moving the police chief and fire chief, which the council wanted, up to the department directors. And in A, Councilmember Hansen and DeVries said, let's eliminate one of the levels, because when you move in the current plan, when you move the two chiefs up, there's nobody in that level. And then the other one that I've asked you to do is just retain the level, not have anyone in there, but it just gives consistency to our schedule. It doesn't have anyone in there. The only way somebody could go in there is if you put somebody in at a future time. But that's the simple things between the two. The amount of money you have, that you had already gone through that issue before. Neither one of these has any impact on the actual salary that the two people would get. It's all about the schedule.
Your Honor?
Councilmember Hansen.
Okay, I have a couple questions. So I'm not so sure why the consistency, as you call it, plays in as a role to retain 12 when there's nobody in it. Conversely, if you want to create a 12 and move somebody into that, you could do that, or whomever could do that also. I'm really not, what has been thrown around is to move a different position into that level 12. That's why we're retaining it. And I don't really support that. I think that, you know, the levels are the way they are right now, are the way the levels need to be. So I'm not sold on the fact that we need to retain level 12. I think that there's nobody in it. I think we need to eliminate it. If the reason why you want to retain it is because there's a certain wage increase between those levels, say that. But I haven't ever heard that said. Likewise, under the narrative in your information memorandum, you say historically an individual whose salary level changes would be placed in the next level at a step as close as possible to the existing salary. Okay? I kind of understand that. And then you go to the next level and next one and say, if the police chief is moved to a level 13, step D, which is the highest range that you have, mm-hmm. then he is 1% below the average of 8 comparable cities. I don't want to mix salary surveys in with this whole equation. I'm not a salary survey guy. We pay what we pay, and that's what we do. And so to reference this as a justification for increasing them to the highest level is not where I want to go. I don't want to set this as a precedence. I don't want to be in the salary survey competition role. I don't think that's where the city of Palmer needs to go. And so, you know, where in this whole equation is the police chief supposed to go? Because you never discussed that this has to have a council approval to move more than two steps. Right? I mean, isn't that what's happening here?
No, Mr. Hannon.
So, Councilman Hansen and Mayor and Council, At the last meeting that we had, how all of this, how it started, and there was two discussions. One was responding to what happened in the budget hearings. That we said when the public safety director's position went away, that then you wanted to consider moving the police chief and the fire chief to the director's level. So that's there. Now, at the last meeting or the last time that we talked about it, I had done the salary surveys and showing you where all of the employees were. And in that time, in that list, there's about 8 or 10 people that were greater than 20% off. And one of them was the police chief. So what our personnel rules say, so you say, when I put in historically, I could use the words what our personnel rules says. In personnel rules, it says that when you create a new position or a person is moved up to it, that you go to the nearest step to where that person is. And in what's shown here is yes, I've gotten here, and I did discuss the last time. What I'm recommending is that the current police chief, who is like, and I don't have the number 20, but about 20% off, I've moved him into the range where, and it's for 2 days or something, as long as there, but I think it's important about the critical that if he is at level 13 and D, then that gap that was described the last time, yes, goes away. So he's